Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
And welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. You should send your questions about cleaning or anything else, really, to joliekerr@gmail.com. You guys, Kristen Lee, the queen of Jalopnik, is back. Hi, Kristen.
Hello, I'm back.
You guys, we promised you that we would have Kristen back so that we could cover a whole bunch of stuff relating to keeping car interiors clean. Because the last time she was here for episode 172, in case you missed it, we talked all about cleaning the exterior of cars. But a lot of the questions, I would say the majority, but not the vast majority, but the majority of questions I get about cars have to do with the interior. And it's usually like food spill type stuff, which I know you have a very distinct point of view on,
and we do,
and I always enjoy hearing it.
I think the material. I think a lot of people talk about interior messes because that's where they spend most of their time with the car. Because when you bring it home, you park it, you just kind of walk inside, and you don't really look at it anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're sitting in traffic for an hour. You can only stare at the spill. You can smell it. So I think it's just a lot more in front of you. So that's why people pay attention to it more.
Exactly. Exactly. And also because it's such like a confined space that for the most part stays confined because most people don't keep their windows down, especially when the car is parked. You're putting the windows up and so on and so forth. So when spills turn into smells, which we're going to talk about in the second segment, then it becomes especially noticeable because you literally smell it. So we have a bunch of stuff to talk about the interior of cars. As I said, if you missed the last episode that Kristen was on, it was episode 172. That was all about cleaning the exterior of the car, which is important to do too. Not just for the good look of your car, but
longevity.
Also for the good health of your car.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into it, I want to remind you guys that I offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to my premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite my show and listen to Chip Chat, which this week will also be Nail Natter, because Kristen had a manicure question for me.
I do.
I was like, I know the answer to that. So we're going to do a little beauty potting, I guess. And I have chips. Go become an Ask a Clean Person, the podcast patron, by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson to help support my show. You guys, it really, really helps me when you support my show through Patreon. I also want to ask and say thank you to all of you who have done this already, but I really, really, really want you to go leave a 5-star rating in iTunes for me. Those ratings are crazy important. It will take you less than 30 seconds to do it, but for me, it's a big deal to get those. So if you haven't done that already, go smash that 5-star rating button. You don't even have to leave a review. You can if you want. Please be kind. I'm a sensitive, gentle soul. I'm a sensitive soul. I don't know if I'm gentle.
Gentle with some things.
Yeah, I am gentle with
me. You're gentle with me.
I am gentle with you. I'm also a little scared of you.
Why does everyone say that? I'm shorter than most people.
That's not why. Okay, before we get into the car stuff, though, you guys, I have an update on the ass papers. For those of you who do not recognize the term ass papers, I will give you a brief refresher. I had Jen Dahl on this show. I think it was episode 174. We were talking about all kinds of workplace questions because Jen writes this great workplace advice column for WeWork. And so we were taking on kind of like the like when people do gross things in the office, what do you do type questions. And they weren't really like cleaning questions from a technical standpoint. So I had Jen here to like talk about the etiquette of your coworker is clipping his fingernails in the office.
What?
People do this happens all
people the, do that
all the time.
Oh my
You know
God.
The thing is, like, you work with animals, but you don't work with that kind of animal.
This is true.
Yeah.
They're animals in other ways.
Yeah, they are animals in other ways, but not in that way.
Not that way. They're gentlemen when it comes to that stuff.
Right, exactly. So one of the questions that we answered was from a longtime listener of mine, who he tweeted a photo at me and Jen, so we like saw that this is real. There's a guy in his office who goes into the stall, puts down a seat liner made of toilet paper, even though there are seat liners right next to the toilet. This guy uses toilet paper to put down a seat liner. He sits down, he does his business, and then he leaves the toilet paper on the seat.
You fucking kidding me? Oh, no.
I was just going to send Kristen.
I'm going to call his mom.
Lee, I'm going to send Kristen into your office, and she'll take care of this problem. No, she'll just terrify everyone. Okay, so here's the thing. Jen and I were both just like, I'm unacceptable. No, no, no. And so there was a question that both Jen and I had. We had a question as to whether or not Lee knew who the guy was, because it kind of sounded like from the tweet like he knew who the guy was. So I asked Lee. He was like, no, it's a mystery. We don't know who it is. And I was like, okay.
Public
totally get it.
Shaming.
Well, no, no. And here is why. And this is one of the reasons that I love this audience so much, that first of all, I learn so much from you guys, and you are always so generous with writing to me with information, but also in such a nice way of being like, hey, like, maybe you didn't think about this, instead of being like, oh my God, I can't believe you didn't know this, you know? And I just really appreciate, you know, because people are terrible. But like, my listeners are not terrible. And
that's
like,
good.
I genuinely am so appreciative of the way, that you guys provide, more information and feedback. And it's just, it's so kind and thoughtful, and I really appreciate it. So I got this email, and I want to share it because, first of all, I think it's a really, really interesting, possible take, but also because Jen and I obviously had a blind spot, and we had a blind spot about a topic that I care a lot about. And so I want to make sure that I'm acknowledging this. And also, if it's appropriate, if I offended anyone, I want to say I'm so sorry. You know, I'm not perfect. And, I hope I didn't hurt anyone listening when Jen and I were sort of like, oh, my God, this is like the you know, the worst thing in the world, and what kind of monster, and blah, blah, blah. So let me read this. This email from Melissa. She wrote, "Hi, Jolie. First, I have to say that I adore your podcast. I was lucky enough to grow up spoiled with a stay-at-home mom, but a relatively chore-free childhood means I'm pretty useless as an adult. I just got my first place, and it's been so helpful to learn how to actually take care of it. Plus, I've saved so much on dry cleaning. I just listened to today's episode, and the story of the person who lined their toilet seat with toilet paper reminded me of people I know with OCD and contamination obsessions. You've been such a great advocate for mental health sensitivity, and I thought that you would want to know that this could be a possibility. The symptoms can lead to intense fear of germs, even in situations that make zero sense. Usually the person is afraid there's germs because it feels unclean, not because there's any objective evidence, though bathrooms are a really common place for symptoms to come up. There can be a lot of issues with touching areas that feel contaminated directly with your body. I'm wondering if this person is using the toilet paper because it's thicker and feels like more of a barrier than the liner, and then leaves it afterwards because they don't want to touch something their ass was on or near, because that is now also unclean. Some people with OCD would avoid touching anything in the washroom with their hands, i.e. using their foot to flush, their shoulder open the door, paper towels on the faucet, etc. But for some people, it could be isolated to the toilet seat. Doesn't make any sense, but neither do most obsessive symptoms. The coworker could also be totally fine and just a clueless weirdo. It's hard to know. But given that a mental health problem could be involved, it might be better to handle that situation similarly to the one with the body odor. Thank you so much for all of your advice. I live in Montreal, and every day on my commute, I pass the subway station Joliecourt, pretty heart in French, and think of you. I have heard about that train station before from a different
listener. Where in Montana?
Montreal.
Oh, Montreal.
Yeah. So anyway, so I wanted to share that. I think that that makes a tremendous amount of sense. You know, as I said, I wanted to share that. I want to say I'm sorry that I had a blind spot and didn't see what potentially was a mental health issue, because obviously that's a thing that I talk about on this show and always want to be really, really respectful and mindful of, and especially around OCD, because that is so relevant to what we do on this show. So with that said, that doesn't mean that leaving it is okay. If you have OCD, you know, you still have to live in the world, and you know, if they can find out who he is, and have someone in HR speak to him so that if it is a mental health issue, it's being handled, you know, privately and respectfully, and in a way that won't send him into a spiral, but also to say, like, there, you know,
this is a shared space.
This is a shared space, and yeah. So like, even if you have to take a wad of toilet paper to pick up the toilet paper that's on the seat and flush it, like, that
push it in, right?
Well, I mean, part of the issue is that he may not want to touch it with his soap, but if you can use some toilet paper,
barrier.
Yeah, exactly.
We could like float.
Right? Yes.
Use the power of wind.
There are lots of options here, is what we're saying. Anyway, so that was very helpful. Melissa, thank you so much for that. Let us turn now to cars.
It's the car time, always.
The car time. I'm gonna go ahead and read this first question. It's very short, but it is really important. It's really important with your own car. It's like critical with a rental car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that.
I know.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Yeah, I know. I know you're excited about it. Okay, so John writes, how do you clean a leather steering wheel so it becomes neither sticky or slick?
In any car or a rental car?
Well, let's do steering wheel first.
Steering wheel first, okay.
And then let's fear monger about the rental cars.
Yeah, okay.
Because I know you love a good fear mongering.
Yeah, I do.
And I do too.
I do. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about. So there are essentially two kinds of steering wheels. I'm sure there are weird outliers.
Yes.
But basically leather or vinyl.
Or plastic.
Or plastic. Or
there's also wood.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Those are pretty uncommon, right?
Pretty uncommon. But they're around.
In like luxury cars.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, but you can sort of put plastic and vinyl together because they'd be clean. I mean, they're actually kind of all clean the same way.
Yeah, they are.
To be honest. Mm-hmm. This guy is specifically asking about a leather steering wheel. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about how to clean a steering wheel, but also I want to talk about what not to do, because there are some safety things to not do. Right?
Oh, I don't think I know this. Okay.
Oh, I know the safety things. Well, I'm going to let you kick off with how to clean a steering wheel.
Well, I would get a towel and I would get a bucket. I wouldn't spray I would use laundry detergent, honestly, because that's pretty gentle.
Mm-hmm.
So I would use laundry detergent on like a vinyl steering wheel, plastic steering wheel, or leather steering wheel, but I wouldn't like dump it right onto the rag. I would dilute it a little bit. And then kind of have like a damp rag and then just kind of like go around it, and also get into the parts where like in the inside parts where like your thumbs kind of go, because mm-hmm. it does get kind of sweaty in there.
Yep.
And then just while you're at it, clean the middle part where the horn is.
Yeah.
Because people sneeze on that and shit.
Oh,
so,
God. Oh.
Yeah. Like spray ends up on that. So
yeah.
Just clean the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then after that, it should be better. It's really fast.
Exactly. It's a very easy job. So. The best tool for the job is a microfiber cloth.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna like grab more dirt and grime, and you really don't need a whole lot, but you probably will need some elbow grease.
Yeah,
because steering wheels are like doorknobs, right? They're just like the dirtiest things in the world because our hands are constantly touching them,
and they bake in the sun,
right? And then they bake in the sun, and they get grosser,
mm-hmm.
right? Like everything kind of like sticks on there. So even though you don't need anything fancy for it, diluted laundry detergent is great. One thing to actually not to use is don't use diluted dish soap. So you want to be really careful about detergents.
Yeah.
I mean, people do use it. It's not going to kill you.
I just don't know why everyone thinks dish soap is the thing to clean everything.
I mean, because it kind of is a thing to clean everything.
Is it?
Yeah, it cleans
a lot.
Maybe
it's because I'm always cleaning cars.
But you can't,
I'm always like, don't.
Right. You can't use dish soap for, I mean, we ranted extensively about this. But just as a reminder, you shouldn't use dish soap to clean the exterior of a car. And it actually is good for cleaning the dash of a car. That diluted dish soap is actually the thing for the dash. Like, that's all you need. For the steering wheel, if it's leather, you kind of want to stay away from the detergents. Just because leather is a sensitive little animal. What you can use, and this it sort of doesn't make a whole lot of logical sense, but it is like the right thing. You can use a mild all-purpose cleaner. So like a seventh generation or Mrs. Meyer's all-purpose cleaner is great for using on a leather steering wheel. Don't use a harsher one. Like, you don't want to use 409.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be too harsh. So now one thing I have to say also, I watched a lot of car detailing videos because I just like,
they're so satisfying.
They're so
aren't
great.
They?
I love to do that. And in a lot of them, I saw the detailers spraying the wheel, giving it like a pretty heavy spray with the all-purpose spray. Then you let it sit and sort of penetrate the grime before you go in and start with the elbow grease part of things. So 30 seconds to a minute is fine. But I was watching them spray it, and I was like, I feel like you shouldn't be spraying because the spray goes beyond the wheel, and I feel like there are components behind the wheel that you might not want to be getting all-purpose cleaner in.
Yeah, I mean, if your car has buttons back there, I mean, a lot of the newer cars do. So a lot of the cars have, like, motorized telescoping wheels, so maybe that will mess with the buttons or the switches, or maybe you might get the headlight switch behind, which is sometimes above your left knee.
Right.
Maybe you hit that. I don't know. I don't believe in just spraying with abandon on the inside.
Yeah.
On the outside, spray with abandon. Go ahead. But on the inside, I kind of like to keep it a little more controlled just so it doesn't get on anything else.
Right. And that was what I wanted to ask you about, because I was like, I feel like you could, like, flood a component.
Something.
Like,
I don't think, like, a lot of liquid and the interior of a car mix.
Yeah. Agree.
That's like my general rule of thumb.
Yeah.
So I'm not comfortable with things spraying in there, flying around. So I would just like dab generously.
Yeah.
With the
microfiber
towel.
Yeah. Like put like decant some, if it's in a spray bottle, like decant some of it into a bowl and just like dab your rag in, dab it onto the steering wheel, let it sit, and then go and do the scrubbing. So that's really all you need to do. That's also the same instructions for a plastic or vinyl steering wheel. The one thing to know about leather, however, is that you might, you don't have to, but you might want to follow the cleaning by applying a very, very, very small amount of leather conditioner.
Leather cracks.
Leather cracks. It's a hide, right? It's like our own skin, right? So if our skin gets dry, it starts to split and crack, right? Leather is the exact same way. And especially because, as Kristen said, the steering wheel is baking in the sun. And leather will dry out from exposure to the sun. So it's not a bad idea to put a little bit of leather conditioner on, a pea-sized amount on a dry microfiber, rub it in, and then use a clean section of the microfiber to buff it really, 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 really well. If you don't buff it really, really, really well, you're going to have residue, and it's going to end up being sticky, and we don't want that.
I forget who it was once, but we took the car in to get detailed, and then we got it back, and they had used too much leather conditioner.
Oof.
So, like, you're sitting in the seat, and you're like, whatever, and then you come home, you sit in the couch, and, like, you're sliding around on the couch because your clothes are all conditioned now. So a lot goes, like, a little goes a long way.
Really, I know I say this all the time about cleaning products, but really when it comes to leather conditioner, like, a pea-sized amount is really all you need. A little bit really does go a long way. And you don't want that sticky feeling because that's, one, it feels gross, but two, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
So let's talk about something else not ever to use. Don't ever use Armor All on your steering wheel. Don't ever use anything. Like, you'll hear people talk about using, like, olive oil to condition leather. Don't use that on your steering wheel. I know in the context of this conversation that we're having, you guys are all like, duh, of course I would never do it. But sometimes you don't think about the use of something and like the things that are going to happen. You're just like, oh, olive oil seems like a great, it works on my purse. Like, why wouldn't it work on my,
I would never leave a food item.
Well, also just,
Kristen's having in a car that bakes. It's hot. It's summer. I would never do that.
Exactly. It's more, for me, it's more the safety thing that I just want to make sure that you guys aren't using any kind of cleaners that will leave your steering wheel slick. Because obviously he needs to be able to grip the steering wheel.
Yeah, I mean, if you need like emergency maneuvers and all of a sudden it slides out of your hand, then you're fucked.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So that's the skinny and steering wheels. That's really all it is. We are going to talk about what to do when you spill something on the seat of your car, because, of course, that's like the main thing that we have to cover.
Before we go there, can I just say really quickly?
Yes.
If I were to like give you any sort of life pro tip, when you're renting a car, wipe off the steering wheel. Make that the first thing you do.
Oh, yes, we didn't do this. Yes.
Make that the first thing you do. It's like the remote control in a hotel room.
Yep.
Right? Isn't that that's like the dirtiest part?
Yep.
Wipe the steering wheel off. Like, we do that every single time we get a rental car. And you can do it, like, with a wet one.
Yeah. I was going to say a wet wipe is fine.
Yeah. And, absolutely. Like, it comes away black. It's disgusting.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Disgusting.
So wipe that down.
Exactly. Because remember that, like, people are, like, eating in the car. They're, like, tapping on their disgusting cell phones on the car, even though they shouldn't be. A lot of people don't wash their hands after they use the bathroom. Like,
I know.
I've
seen it happen.
Yeah.
And also, it's a rental car. Most people don't give a shit about rental cars like they care about their own cars.
Exactly.
That's why it's a rental car.
That's why it's a rental car.
Exactly. So be extra careful.
Yeah. Wipe that. It's like when you're traveling, you're going to wipe down your airplane's tray table.
Yep.
And your rental car steering wheel.
Yep.
Those are your rules.
Mm-hmm.
And your hotel TV remote.
Yeah.
There you go. You're going to be healthy.
Those are your three things to wipe down.
That's right. All right. So this is a good time on that fear-mongering note. Now that we've terrified you. Now that we've given everybody OCD. This is a good time for us to take a quick break. Kristen and I will be right back with more about how to clean your cars. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr, and I'm joined by Kristen Lee. We've been talking about cars. It's what we do when you're here.
Beep, beep.
What if I, like, had you on one episode to talk about, like, I don't even know. What would be, like, the most opposite of car?
I know thing? Other things.
I know you do know Let's other think. Things.
What do I know things of? I know things about cooking.
That's true.
I know, like, kitchen stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What else do you guys usually talk about?
I mean, everything. Everything has to be cleaned.
It's true.
Yeah.
Oh, I can talk about when I worked. If you ever do this, I can talk about how I worked in my mom's dental office.
Oh, I bet that's good.
Yeah.
All right. Duly noted. Okay. We have a question from Gail. This is going to make you upset. It's going to make you upset.
It's okay.
I'm going to read it because I'm going to make you mostly answer it.
Okay.
I've got some help, but like you're my car girl. So. All right. Gail writes, "Hi, Jolie. I'm really hoping you can help me in my stinky car. In the last week, it started smelling horribly of stinky feet. I've checked and it's not my feet and I haven't abandoned any shoes in there. I cleaned out all my lingering bits of stuff, but no luck. My husband just suggested it is related to a whipped cream covered cake I dropped on the upholstered passenger seat months ago." Kristen's mouth, her jaw is just hanging open. Kristen is so upset. We had treated it the next morning with hot water, and I thought we got it all out. However, with the new warm temperatures, I think the residue has started to rot. Any suggestions on what I can do? I am going to start with vinegar and a bad air sponge, but I suspect this may need more. Thank you so much for everything you do. Sincerely, Gail.
Is this one of those things where you can spread baking soda on it and then vacuum it up? Or is baking soda not strong enough?
I don't think it's strong enough because I think what happened, because it was whipped cream. If it were
like soaked in,
if it were a thicker frosting,
yeah,
I would have been like, oh, you know, it probably was on the surface of the upholstery, probably easy enough to clean with just like a damp sponge and some dish soap or laundry detergent or blah, blah, blah. But I think because it was whipped cream and it probably like when it fell sort of turned back to cream, it leaked down into the upholstery of the seats and into the foam of the seat. So that's what I'm worried happened here.
That's what I'm worried happened here.
Yeah. So I would say the first thing to try, and in the event that it really is just sitting on the surface, the first thing to try is just a sponge and some diluted laundry detergent. You could also use an upholstery cleaner like Resolve, one of those, and see if it does the trick. But I don't know. I think it's in the foam.
What happens? Can you steam it?
So what you're going to do for that is basically you're going to have to get an upholstery cleaning machine.
Because, that's what I was seeing in my head.
Yeah, exactly. So what happens whenever a liquid gets down underneath the upholstery and into the filling of a seat. So this is true of like a couch, a car seat, you know, anything. You can't get at it. Right.
Short of taking the whole thing apart.
Right.
And replacing the stuffing.
Exactly. What you can do is you can use a carpet and upholstery cleaning machine, which is designed to force a cleaning solution down into the filling and then extract it all back up. It uses basically like a vacuum suction mechanism.
That's cool.
To pull out all of the liquid once you force it in there. So that's the way that you would clean a car seat if indeed it got the filling got hit with the dairy, which I think
that's what happened.
I feel like it did.
Dairy is
bad, man. Dairy is bad news, especially when it gets hot, right?
Yeah. Then it curdles. So, that's what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. So probably the best thing to do in this situation is to just rent a rug doctor, because that's a $30 rental, and I feel like that's pretty, like, you know, it's not a lot of money to spend. You can buy one of these machines. They have handheld ones. I have a handheld one that I love. It was like $70. Not a bad thing to have, quite frankly. If you have cloth seats in your car, chances are you're gonna spill again. And you know, for the cost of basically two rug doctor rentals, you could just have this thing, and you can use it for lots of other stuff too. You can buy portable corded machines, which are a little bit more powerful. Those will usually run in like the $125 to $200 range at like the very, very high end. And then there are like the big,
like the industrial ones,
stand up machines like that some people have, and those have hose attachments, so you can use them for getting a car. You can use them for
I would rent
work.
That. I would just go straight for the top and rent that.
Yeah. That's one of the, the Rug Doctor rentals usually are the corded portable ones. They're, I would say they're like about the size of like an air conditioning unit.
Oh, okay.
Not huge.
That's reasonable.
Yeah.
It's
and they're
bulky,
light,
but it's
yeah, they're
reasonable.
Lightweight. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, there are also the stand-up ones that you
I
can
want
get.
The stand-up.
Of course
I want
the
big
do.
One.
Of course you do.
I'm going to take time solving the problem. It better get solved by the end of it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I would say. I think in this case is probably what you have to do. One other thing I would suggest trying, it's a long shot, but like you might as well, it's easy to do. Try vacuuming it. It's possible that like the dairy has like dried and you can just
like into crumbs.
Yeah.
And just like take it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Long shot, but I mean,
why not? You're
why
already
not?
Out there.
Worth a try. I mean, you got to vacuum the seats anyway. I promise there are crumbs there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so a couple of things in the short. So she already got the bad air sponge, which was going to be one of the things I was going to say. Like, I mean, you got to find the source of the problem and clean it, which I do think is like deep cleaning the seat. But the bad air sponge, which is a canister style odor absorber, is going to at least nuke the odor while you're cleaning it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Another thing to try. Have I talked to you about Osium before?
No, I've
like
not
I
heard
have.
This. Is it a product?
It's a spray odor eliminator.
Okay. I thought usually you don't like those.
I normally don't.
Okay.
I normally don't, but I like Osium.
Okay.
So the one thing I don't love about Osium is that it is scented. And it's kind of, it's like an orangey, like orangey clove type scent, but it dissipates quickly.
Okay.
So you'll smell it when you spray it. And if you're like sitting in the car right after you've sprayed it, you're going to smell it. But if you spray it in the car when you're getting out of the car, by the time you get back in the car, the oleum odor is going to be gone and all of the odors that it's that it killed.
What if you spray it and then leave the windows down and drive around the block for a bit?
Which brings me to the next point. Opening the windows and driving around.
Yeah.
Yeah. It works.
It does.
Yeah. Yeah. It works, definitely.
I mean, don't forget to roll them back up.
Yes.
If it like rains, then you get rain in your car and then you get mildew and that's like a whole different smell.
Oh my God. Don't get mildew in the car.
That's a whole different other smell.
Yeah.
So.
Then you really have to rent the rug doctor.
Then you please remember to roll your windows up.
Here's another thing to say about cleaning seats. Seats are easier to take out of the car than you think they are.
Oh, they pop right out.
Can you give like a brief primer for how people can pop the seats out?
Well, you
it depends. I know
it depends.
It depends car by car, but
you
like
could
generally
probably get your owner's manual and look inside it to see if there are instructions to popping the seat out.
Okay.
Usually the seats like are hinged somewhere that you can kind of just like unhinge them and then pick them up and pull them out of your car.
Right. Like they're clipped, right?
Yeah, they're clipped. They're, no car comes with like seats fixed to it. It's just like impossible. So like figure it out. And honestly, YouTube is your best friend. Like no matter what car you have, someone out there has probably made a video of popping the seats out of your car.
Yep.
Like it's out there.
Yeah.
So it's not hard.
Exactly. And I say that because a lot of times when it comes to cleaning upholstered car seats, it is easier to just take the seat right out of the car. Then you're not trying to like wedge your body in an upholstery cleaning machine in an awkward, like through an awkward door opening. If you just take it out, then you can move freely.
And even vacuum underneath while you're at it.
Then that's the other thing I was going to say, that in this particular case, this isn't a problem. But a lot of times when we talk about spills in cars, not only is it going all the way into the filling of the seat, but it's going down below the seat into the carpeting below the seat. So if you've taken the seat out, then you can get to that area and clean all of that if there's been a spill that's gone all the way through to the floor.
Can I just tangent briefly?
Of course.
Why are there carpets in cars still? I'm so over it. I'm really...
That is such a good question.
I'm so over it. You know, it's like you don't wear shoes on the carpeting in your own house. You take them off. Why do we wear shoes in our cars? All the cars should be lined with rubber, which you can clean easily. I think they're lined with carpet because of like someone is holding on to some old antiquated idea of like what luxury you should feel like. And also probably helps for like the noise and the vibration.
I was going to say, is there a noise?
That has to be
absorbing component.
That has to be it. But I'm so over carpeting in cars.
Well, I will look forward to reading this post on Jalopnik.com.
It's been written. It's been written.
It's been written.
We all work for Big WeatherTech Matt now. That's who owns
us. I mean, it really is like, it is a great question. Oh, sidebar, speaking of carpet, when you were talking about this, I have to say like the grossest thing. I'm not surprised, but I'm so grossed out by it. I was on Amtrak over the weekend and they made an announcement that the cafe car was open and they added in the announcement that you have to wear your shoes in the cafe car.
Oh,
and I was
my
like,
God.
That means that people are walking the length of Amtrak barefoot to get to the cafe car. Guys, don't walk around on Amtrak with bare feet. You're all going to get ringworm. What's wrong with you guys? Keep your shoes on in public.
Did you see the tweet where the woman was like...
Yes, I did. Yeah. You guys, there was this tweet. A person took a video on an airplane of a woman who had her bare feet up on the seat back in front of her. And she was using her bare toes to swipe the infotainment screen. The touchscreen TV. It was disgusting. Which is also why we're telling you to bring wipes on the airplane and wipe everything down because people are animals.
I mean, yeah.
Super gross. Wear your shoes. There shouldn't be carpets in cars.
Yeah. Wipe everything down.
these are the takeaways that we want you to get from today's
episode. This is how nuts I am about this stuff. If I don't have wipes with me or some kind of like disinfectant, I have to use the infotainment, I'll like scroll with my knuckle. And this is like some other crazy thing that I do. So when I go to the airport and I check in on those big kiosks, I never use my fingertip. I use my knuckle to hit the buttons.
I mean, I guess it makes sense.
Because I don't like touch my face or anything with my knuckle.
True, yeah. Yeah.
So that's like, that's the part of my hand that I use.
Are you a germaphobe?
Sometimes.
I mean, I think it's normal to be a germaphobe in airports because, like,
airports,
they are really gross.
I have a way of opening bathroom doors as well.
Do you do, like, the elbow or, like...
I do the elbow to open the thing, and then I tug on the coat rack to open the door.
Hmm.
Because most of the time, in my mind, I'm like, there's no poop fingers going up to the coat hanger. Something. There's poop everywhere. It doesn't matter.
I know. But I get it. All right. We have one last thing that we have to address. There was internal dissent at ye old Gawker Media, GMG, GO, whatever the fuck we are now.
I don't know.
I've given up.
I have whiplash.
I have completely given up on knowing what we call our company. So a colleague of mine at the inventory wrote a column. Was it last week, the condom?
I think it was last week. It's all a blur.
Really?
It's all a mustard blur.
wrote a post about this new little car accessory they were all excited about that is a condiment cup holder that can be attached to the AC vents on a dashboard. And it's just the right size to hold one of those little condiment cups that you get from, you know, McDonald's or from, you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken or Popeyes or wherever you're getting your fast food. And so the idea is that you open your condiment, you slide it into this little condiment cup holder. And then while you're driving, you can be like, you know, dipping your fries or your chicken nuggets or whatever into this condiment cup.
I can't believe I missed this. You sent this to me. It was like in my company and you're like, have you seen this? I'm like, no.
I literally, you know, the thing was is that I literally saw it pop up on Twitter and I was like, ooh. Like, I was like,
physical reaction.
Oh, dear. Well, I know who needs to know about this.
Who can I trigger with this?
So, well, and the thing is, I was also top of mind because I'm planning to do a column about car stuff for the inventory. And so I saw it and I was like, oh, my God, now I'm going to have to address this, too. So I tagged Kristen and I was like, Kristen, how does this make you feel? And like, I know how it
you
makes
knew what was coming.
I know how it makes Kristen feel. I just
at this point, it's just like, what's her new word choice for her outrage?
I just wanted to wind her up because it's fun. So you were upset.
Yes.
And you had some very good points about why you were upset, in addition to the fact that you hate food in cars, mm-hmm. which do you want to remind the people about your
policy? I hate food. There is no eating in my car.
None.
Why? Because when you eat, you make a mess. And I don't know, like the fry rolls under the seat and it stays there for 6 months because I don't know where you put your food. I don't keep track of your food. And also it's greasy.
Yeah.
You get it on my door handles. You get it on my upholstery. It smells. Don't eat in my car, please.
Yeah.
And people get really upset. They're like, what do you mean I can't eat in your car? I'm like, it's literally my car. It's my rules.
Yeah.
If you are upset, take the bus.
It also makes perfect sense to me. Like, I understand why a lot of people eat in cars, and I don't take a hard line for everybody else. But I understand why you have that rule for your car, and it would, like, not even occur to me to not respect it.
Yeah. I mean, if someone else wants to eat in their car, sure. I'll be like, oh, does that mean I can eat in your car? They're like, sure. I'm like, all right. And I'll be, like, really careful, but... if they're fine with it, I'm like, all right. And I keep track of all my food and my wrappers and everything. And I'm respectful. So it's like, fine. But not everyone can be trusted.
Right.
So I'm just going to make blanket rule.
Yeah. I think it's a good rule. So Kristen hates food and cars. And she also had a few good points to make about this condiment cup holder. So why don't you go ahead and make them?
So the condiment cup holder, when was the last time you put like condiment in a container? It makes a mess. Like, no one can do it neatly.
Right.
Right? It's just like it gets on your fingers, it drips or something. You think it's all out of the shitty little packet and then you take it away and it like drips across, whatever. So that's already bad. Second, how do you know how well that thing is anchored in there? Like, what if you go over a bump and then it just like falls down?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're really, really screwed because now there's honey barbecue sauce on your console or in your upholstery.
Mm-hmm.
What if you forget it there? Plenty of people forget much less stuff in their cars. They forget babies in their cars, their dogs. So like a condiment container is very low on everyone's priority list. So there's definite people are going to forget it. What was another point I made? So if you forget it in there, it's going to smell. It'll fall down. it promotes bad habits and eating in your car.
Here was mine. It's right in front of the vent.
That's true.
You guys, someone is going to end up with ranch blowing all around the car.
It's like, true. Well, like, what is the viscosity of your Economist? Yeah. How high, like, how high is the fan blowing?
Exactly.
Because the new car is now, the vents are so powerful.
They are powerful.
Because we're like, we're hot now. Yeah. We need to be cool now. And so the vents come with, like, gale storm force. So if it's, like, a runny kind of condiment, like ranch or something, is ranch runny? Ranch is runny.
Kind of pretty thick.
Something
would be runny.
Runny.
Like, honey mustard would be runny. Okay. Although, I guess it's sticky. I don't know. Like, a hot sauce?
Sure, like a hot sauce. Like a runny hot sauce. It's going to blow. Now I'm just seeing, like, the vent just blowing hot sauce all over the
car. I know.
Car.
I literally was like, the placement of that really worries me so much. Like, what in the world?
Yeah, it's true. And also, that assumes that all air conditioning vents are shaped the same, and they're not.
Right.
The distance between the vents is different, how the slats are spaced, and how they're designed. It's different. I mean, it's pretty standard on most cars, but maybe you have that one car where the designer decided to go ham on HVAC vents.
Yeah.
And if you have a Tesla Model 3, no vents. So then what are you
going to
do?
Yeah, well, then where are you going to put your condiments? Yeah, I was just like, wow, this just seems like a real bad idea in like a lot of ways.
I'm like, I love the inventory people. I'm a little disappointed that this made the cut.
I will let
them
know.
I almost like write a rebuttal. I'm like, oh.
Well, I was kind of hoping you would. I was like, oh, good. Like, let's have a little like Jalopnik inventory war going on. Like,
I'm not supposed to deal with business, and business is not supposed to deal with me. But I'm glad we got to talk about it here.
Yeah. This is a safe space.
As I saw it, I was like, whoa.
We're like, what? I know. It was really funny. I was just like, oh, boy. This is gonna make someone mad, and I know who it's gonna be.
Wait, so let's think. So you're driving, and we're gonna assume you have your chicken nuggets or whatever in the console right here, right? And then you have the sauce here. So it's like, this is a big distance for all of that stuff.
Yeah, I feel like it's gonna drip.
Yeah, it's gonna drip. And also, it encourages distracted driving.
There's also that.
That's not good.
Yeah, don't do that, guys.
Because you're like focusing on dunking the nugget, and then like some old deer crosses the road in front of you. You don't see her until the last minute because you're dunking. Bad.
Yeah. I also just feel like I don't know. If you have something that requires a condiment, you should be eating that before you start driving.
Yeah. If you're going to eat in your car, have it be like an all-in-one contained food that you don't have to look
like
at.
Like a burger. Fine.
Yeah, don't have to look at one-handed.
Yeah.
That doesn't drip anywhere.
Exactly.
We actually invented a perfect car food. Jason kind of wrote it up. Jason Twerczynski. It's a kind of like a multi-chambered bagel tube. Like the outside is all
the fact
bagel.
That it's multi-chambered.
It's multi-chambered.
Is the most Jason Twerczynski thing possible.
Yes, it's multi-chambered because you know maybe you want like a vegetable, and then after you're done with the vegetable, you get your way down to like the meat part.
It's like a sky bar.
Yeah.
But
yeah. That is the car food. That is the only acceptable car food.
That's a pretty good car food.
Yeah.
I mean, a wrap.
Yeah.
Would be a good car food. But start to fall apart.
The more structural integrity is sacrificed.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. How long does it take to eat chicken McNuggets? Just eat them before.
Me? Depends on how many whiskeys I've had.
Okay.
Because that's my go-to drunk food.
Oh, is it really?
It is. Like, my friend came, and then we put away 40 between the two of us.
Holy
it was
shit.
So gross. This was after drinking for 10 hours straight.
Okay.
It was.
I'm like, oh, okay, well, in that case.
It was disgusting.
It's really gross.
It was so gross.
That's so gross.
This is what I do on my days off. I hang out in bars for 10 hours and then eat 20 McNuggets.
That's about right. Yep. Yeah.
It was good. It was a good day.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it.
It was a good day. We won at trivia night. It was a really good
day. Right. I'm down for it. As long as you don't drive after all that, I'm fine with it. Of course you
subway.
Of course you wouldn't. I trust you implicitly. All right. Before we wrap this up, do you have any, other than not eating in the car, do you have other car interior tips for people? Do you have products that you really like for keeping your car interior clean that you want to recommend for people, whether it's for the dash, for the seats? Do you have a back car vacuum that you – do you still have the Dyson car vacuum?
I think Balaban took that.
Balaban!
Someone has it. It was in my apartment for a long time.
I just want to know if you've been using it. I was hoping that you would.
I wish I had it. I spilled planter soil in my back seat a couple weeks ago.
Soil.
So soil was dry. I was like, thank God.
Oh, thank God.
It's dry.
I mean, it's easy. Yeah.
You just vacuum it up. But I like ran around my apartment because I live in a high rise. So it's not like I can just park in a driveway and like come out with a vacuum.
Right.
So I asked the front door guys. I was like, do you guys have like a vacuum that I can borrow? They're like, no. I was like, okay, do you have an extension cord I can borrow and plug in and then run it out to the street across the sidewalk? And they're like, no. I was like, I think you're lying, but okay, sure. So I'm waiting to bring it back to my parents' place in New Jersey and vacuum it out. I wish I had that little battery powered
one. I know, because that thing was so great.
It would have been perfect. I don't know where it is.
Let's ask Balaban where it is and make him bring it to you. I wonder if he has it from when he and I detailed his car.
He might.
I think that's probably
it. He might. So a last piece of tip I would give is my car recently just started smelling like just a little musty. It's older.
Yeah.
So I think it's just like age. So what I kind of did was I put dryer sheets in the door pockets.
Okay.
And it's helped.
Okay.
With the air inside.
Okay.
And I drive it once a month and it sits with the windows up for the rest of the time. So.
Oh, you know what I would actually do for that? Glad you mentioned this. If it's getting musty, basically what's happening is there's some moisture that's getting trapped in there.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of doing the dryer sheet, I mean, dryer sheets will like mask the odor. But if you get a desiccant, which is a product that will absorb moisture out of the air.
And they make that?
It. Yeah. Yeah. Get that. The one thing you just have to remember is you have to remember it's in there because as it pulls moisture out of the air, it will pull the water into its little container. So you want to make sure you take the container and dump out the water before you start driving because otherwise it'll tip over. And
I'm wondering it's because my AC unit is broken. That's why it smells musty in there. It's probably like some seal is messed up and there's ambient something coming in.
That's probably exactly what it is. Yeah.
It's in the shop right now getting fixed.
Okay.
So.
Good. Yeah. The desiccant that I use or recommend to people is called Damprid. Mm-hmm. And it actually, they make ones for closets that are like sachets. That might be the best thing for the car, actually.
Okay.
I don't know how the mechanism works to collect the water in the sachets, but it's Damprid and they're geniuses. So I'm sure there's some brilliant thing.
2019 is bad for a lot of reasons, but it's also good for people who like to clean. Because it's all been invented.
That's right.
I love it.
Yeah. There's lots of good stuff out there. On that happy note, this is a good time to wrap up this episode. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. If you like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards I'm offering to my listeners. I would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast or iTunes, leave a rating, and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so much. And of course, thanks to you, my listeners, for joining me for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.